Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Mitch Moss of Follow the Money will join us. We will go over Major League Baseball, the season beginning, his thoughts on futures, awards, teams he has the most conviction on, and we will talk Sweet 16. So a lot to do, a lot to discuss. I will give you my picks here for every division winner, all 12 Major League Baseball playoff teams, and a World Series pick. Who's in it? Who wins it? So I'll give you my thoughts on baseball here. I'll look at some stuff for opening day, and we have a game on Wednesday. And baseball seems to always just, I don't say screw up opening day, but it used to be just, at least from what I remember, everybody played on opening day. It was one day, and boom, it used to be on the same day as the NCAA tournament final, that Monday, and that was a perfect day. Just everybody starting Monday, and everybody plays. Now it's like you got one standalone game, and then you know, some years it's in overseas or in Japan or whatever, and then everybody else plays, and it's just kind of disjointed. But baseball begins on Wednesday. I've actually got a couple plays on that game and then some thoughts on the season in general and just reiterate my thoughts here on baseball. But let's go to the Sweet 16 here. I'll just do the Thursday games, and then for the Friday show, I can do the Friday games. Four games on Thursday. I will give you the ones that I have them. I'll just go in order here from ones I have most conviction on. I'll start with that. And that to me is Arizona laying 7.5. And I had a lot of conviction on them. Their opening round game against LIU. And obviously a much different animal here in Arkansas, but Arizona's laying 7.5, a total of 166.5. I like Arizona. I just think Arkansas tries to do what Arizona does, but Arizona just does it better. And Arkansas has played a pretty soft schedule recently with Hawaii and High Point, and High Point played them pretty tough. And even in the SEC tournament, they got a break where they got Oklahoma and they got Ole Miss, and Ole Miss took them to overtime and could have won that game. And, eventually they win the conference tournament, and everyone seems to be really high on Arkansas at the moment, which I understand. But to me, this is just a different animal, and it wasn't that long ago they played Florida, and Florida is a very apt, I think, comparison from just a schematic standpoint of what Arizona wants to do and the strengths and weaknesses. Again, I just think you're playing Arizona at their strength, trying to play up tempo, trying to go at the rim. I think Arizona wants to do that and just does it at a better level. So I think Arizona, this has been a hurdle game for Arizona. Lloyd hasn't gotten over the hump here, and this is a game they need to win. There's a lot of pressure on Arizona on Thursday. I grant you that. This is 9:45 Eastern. These games still start a little too late. I wish they would start 6 and 9, 6 and 9:30 like that. I mean, these games are going to be starting at 10:30, 11 o'clock before, between the switchover. But I think Arizona gets it done. I think Arizona wins fairly comfortably, 10, 15 points, something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if they blow them out. I think this is a bad matchup here for Arkansas, who still struggles to defend, and I think Arizona will just dominate the rim here. Illinois-Houston's a great game. I mentioned Sunday with Gil. I like Houston just because they're home. Man, we're up to 3.5 in some spots. I think there's some fours out there. Jeez. I mean, to me, pretty even teams. Maybe slight edge to Illinois, but pretty even teams. I'll just take the home team in Houston to win. But now you're talking about like laying $1.60-something on the money line. You're talking about laying 3.5 points, multiple possessions. Now you got to win by two possessions. I can't quite get there. It would just be a lean towards Houston. Texas-Purdue, I would lean towards taking the points. Don't love it, but to me, Texas, they play pretty slow. They get to the foul line. A little scarred after going against Purdue on Sunday, and I thought what should have been a cover that Sunday game with Miami. It was a four-point game with 50 seconds left, and Miami's not able to hang within the number. Purdue's able to pull away and hit their free throws and win by 10. But I would think Texas, I know Purdue's playing well here. Purdue's played well in neutral courts. I would think Texas has enough here. 7.5 is a lot of points. I would think Texas has enough to hang around here and hang within this number. So I do like Texas plus 7.5 in that one. And I mentioned it. It's moved a couple points. I mean, you start giving away points with low totals, it's eventually there's a point of no return. But I mentioned on the Monday show with Gil, Iowa-Nebraska to me is an under. It was 134.5 at the time. We're looking at 133 now. It would still be an under. I think the winner probably gets the 60 here. You will have to survive a lot of three-point attempts. And these teams played twice in the regular season. One was a total rock fight, 57-52. The other one went way over this number, but it went to overtime, and both teams shot a million threes. Both teams shot 30 threes and shot them not only a high volume, but a pretty high success rate. Both made double-digit threes. Both shot 37% from three. So, hey, if you're betting a low total and you're going to hit a bunch of threes, you're probably going to lose your under. But I'll take the chance here, especially they're playing in Houston. They're playing in an NBA arena. I'll take the chance here that the shooting's just not good enough to get you over this number. A little nerves, things like that. Slow pace, under 133 is a play for me. But again, my favorite among these four is Arizona here. And we'll get to the Friday games on Friday. The Friday games are tremendous. St. John's and Duke, Bama and Michigan, Tennessee, Iowa State, and UConn and Michigan State. That is one hell of a Friday night there in terms of a Sweet 16 schedule. But Arizona would be a best bet. Texas and under. Texas plus the 7.5 and under 133. Iowa and Nebraska got a little bit better the other day. And then I it would be a lean towards Houston, but at 3.5, I think it's getting a little bit pricey. See, what's the difference? It was 2, now it's 3.5. A point and a half, you're starting to get where it's priced out. And if you want to bet Houston, but you don't want to lay 3.5, you know what? Illinois probably be up 10-6 or 6-2 at some point, and then you get Houston on a cheaper money line if you want to play it that way. Not the worst idea. I think Houston wins, but not – I mean, these teams are too close to call to be that confident where you're going to lay multiple possessions on it. I think this is getting – a little bit expensive here for Houston, despite the fact that they are playing at home. Major League Baseball, like I said, feels a little early for it. Just feels a little early. It feels like it's a week too early. Not quite ready for it. It always feels early. It always just feels like it comes out of nowhere. But this is a little early. Yankees and the Giants Wednesday night on Netflix. Netflix is going to have 9 million people on these shows. It drives you crazy. They did a terrible job with the football, with all these entertainers and wrestlers, and they do everything except cover the game. And, you know, they had 1 million people on it. It was unwatchable. It sounds like they're going to do the same thing with baseball here. But you know what? The game starts and you just kind of forget about it and try to pay attention to just the game. Hopefully the in-game announcers will be good enough and you just doesn't annoy you too much. But, boy, it does drive you crazy here with all the people. Cast of thousands here. They just do a baseball game. We don't need to hear from these wrestlers, the entertainers, and you know whoever Burt Kushner is or all these people. It's way, way too much. But we will get a game here on Wednesday. Basically a pick'em. Yankees like minus 120. Giants about even money. It's hard to know what you're going to get this early in the season, especially with baseball. These pitchers, you know, come out and they're just not sharp, or you just don't know what you're getting. It's so early. Sometimes spring training is not always correlated to what you see in the regular season. I would look. I like both unders for pitchers' hits allowed. So Fried is under 4.5 hits allowed. Webb is also under 4.5 hits allowed. I just don't think they're going to – first of all, they're both really good pitchers. Maybe early in the season the command's a little bit of an issue, and that drives up the pitch count, and you can walk some people. And I just don't think these guys are going to get the leash. I don't think they're going to be pitching into the seventh. You know, five good innings at 80-something pitches, that might be enough for these guys. And Boone's got the bigger picture in mind. Boone wants to win games in October. Boone is not going to sit here and have – I know Fried gets a lot of rope and – you know, Fried gets he's a veteran. He gets some leash. I wouldn't imagine Fried's out there, throwing 107 pitches into the seventh or eighth inning on Wednesday night. I would think, five solid innings, maybe six at the most, 4.5 hits. I would go under there. And same thing for Webb. Get him in, get him out. I don't know that these guys have just a ton of length. And, again, maybe the command isn't there, and that drives up the pitch count. Walks are actually good for this. Bet this prop because it gets the pitch count up, it gets the leash short, and so under 4.5 hits allowed for both. As far as the Thursday games, got some pretty good games here. I wish they would stay away from the Sweet 16. I just don't. It's to go head to head with it. I don't see the need for it. It's just wait a week, just wait a few more days, and you're free and clear. To quote Pedro Serrano, free and clear. But that's not the case. They start on Thursday. I like having the games on during the day Thursday. It's just once you get to Thursday night, if you're a sports fan, it's all about the Sweet 16. You're going to be sitting here worried about, the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, 8:30 on a Thursday night. You're going to be watching the Sweet 16. But Mets and Pirates kick it off, 1:15 Eastern. Mets a small favorite with Skeens against Peralta. That's a good matchup. Goes right into Brewers White Sox about an hour later, Mizorowski pitching. Cubs, Nationals, doesn't get you too excited. Twins, Orioles. Orioles, a team I'm very high on, as I've mentioned. Ryan going against Rogers. Orioles about a minus 160 favorite. Red Sox and Reds, interleague matchup. Interleague's always weird the opening day. It's not that it matters anymore because the rules are uniform. And you're playing in National League Park, but your pitchers don't hit. Same thing for Yankees, Giants, where... And I actually miss that. I actually miss when the rules are different. I miss when interleague was just a couple weeks here and there. It wasn't every day. It doesn't really matter anymore. But it's Reds and Red Sox. It's a fun matchup. Crochet against Abbott. Schuble's pitching against the Padres. Another interleague game with Schuble going against Pivetta in San Diego. Tigers a small favorite. Hunter Brown and the Astros going against the Angels. So just looking at some of these games. Rangers, Phillies. So we got a lot of interleague games. That's in Philly too. So a lot of National League teams hosting American League teams. That's not a bad one. Mariners, Guardians, a couple of playoff teams. Gilbert going against Bibee. That's not bad. Then Friday's a pretty light schedule. At least the board is light here. I'm not sure. Usually they do give the next day off. Usually like a rain day, which makes the schedule weird because the weather in April can be shaky. So they usually build in off days and things like that where you get the season started, you're all excited, and the next day your team doesn't play. So the Thursday schedule is pretty good. See what they got here for a Friday schedule now that I bring it up. Friday schedule. Oh, Friday, you still got a bunch of games. No, it's a lighter card. Yankees are at the Giants. They don't play each other Thursday, but they do play on Friday. That's 4:30 Eastern. That's the only day game. I wish they put some of these games on during the day. A's and Blue Jays, Rockies and Marlins, Braves and Royals. So you got about, 8 games. Lighter slate on Friday. And then looks like everybody in action Saturday into Sunday, and then away you go. Baseball is back, and it will be back. I mean, think of how long the baseball season ends. When the baseball season, regular season ends, you are basically in like week 4 or week 5 of the NFL. You've gone through an entire draft. You've gone through an entire training camp, an entire preseason, and your team has played 4 or 5 games. And some of our favorite teams are basically going to be eliminated in the NFL. If you're 1-3 or 1-4, you're basically done. So that's how long the baseball season ends. You get a whole NBA playoffs. You get a whole NHL playoffs. It is such a long season, which is obvious, which everyone knows. But when you really think about it that way, man, the season is so, so long. But as far as bets, I like both pitchers under hits allowed, Fried as well as Webb here. And we'll see if Netflix doesn't annoy the absolute hell out of us, at least out of me, on a Wednesday night. And I don't like the fact they started on Netflix. I mean, a lot of people don't have Netflix. A lot of people are older people, just don't know how to get it. Or why can't I just turn the TV on and watch the game? Why does it have to be a chore? Why do I have to jump through hoops here to just watch a baseball game, especially on opening day? It drives you nuts, but hey, it's not going anywhere. Nothing is changing. Nothing really jumps out to me on Thursday. Schuble looks pretty cheap at 137. That doesn't look bad. I like the Orioles. It's a little expensive at 157, but I do like the Orioles. Mets and Skeens. It looks about, I mean, I want to bet the Mets, but I don't want to fade Skeens. I'll probably pass there. But it's great to have it back. It's great. There's just so many things to bet on day-to-day with the props, the pitcher props, the hitter props, you name it. It goes on and on. It really is the best. Just having it back is so much fun, even though I do think they could wait a week or so. Division winners. In the American League, I am going Orioles, Tigers, and Rangers. Wild cards, I'm going Yankees, Mariners, and it was a toss-up for me between Blue Jays and Red Sox. I'll go Red Sox just because they have Cora. They've got Crochet every fifth day. Some of those young players, I think, will improve. Feels disrespectful to not include Toronto, but let's see if they can recover from that World Series loss. Let's see if they can do it again. Remember, they were picked to finish last in the American League East last year, and how they didn't win that World Series, I don't know. We'll see if they can do it again, though. Your Savages hurt to start the year. I mean, they're going to be I would think they'd be pretty good, but I still want to see it another year and could easily see them making the playoffs. It's a tough division. Wouldn't be shocked if they won the division. Maybe they're legit, but I'll go with Baltimore to win the division and then the Yankees and the Red Sox to get wild cards again. I thought about Toronto for a division. I thought about the A's. I just can't. Probably just a year away. It'd be fun. Some of those younger pitchers, Arnold and some of these guys that are prospects, probably not going to help until next year. But we'll see here if the A's can get in the mix. But those are my six: Orioles, Rangers, and Tigers division winners, Yankees, Mariners, and Red Sox wild card. In the National League, obviously you got a pencil in the Dodgers to win the West. I'm going with the Mets in the East. The Braves are just a disaster with their injuries, and who knows, maybe the Phillies have missed their window here. We'll see what we get out of Wheeler. Suarez is gone. Harper and Turner a little older. Mets to win the division. Dodgers to win the division. And I'll go with the Cubs. To me, it's the coin toss between them and the Brewers. Can never disrespect the Brewers. They seem to always overachieve. I will give the Brewers a wild card spot along with the Phillies. And I'll give I'll give it to the Pirates, the last one. Good pitching. Maybe they get a little offense and the Pirates can get into, like, you know, 84 win range, whatever the Reds did last year to get in the wild card, and they probably won't. Maybe it'd be dangerous if they got in. And if they do, if you do like them to get in, Kelly, the manager, is in that 12-14 to 1 region area there from manager of the year. Kelly, manager of the year, not the worst bet I've ever heard of. So the Mets, Dodgers, and Cubs, division winners, Brewers, Phillies, and Pirates, wild card winners. And for the World Series, I will have the Orioles coming out of the American League, getting defeated by the New York Mets, who I think are going to win that division. I think are going to be really good with that lineup. I think, you know, Williams probably bounces back and gets something out of Peralta. McClain looks like he's going to be a good pitcher. Maybe the Mets, who have not won a World Series in a very long time. We'll see if the Mets have a parade in them come November. I will go Mets over Orioles here in the World Series. But I mean, to sit here and predict what's going to happen in the short random baseball series in October, when we're at the end of March, is a fool's errand, to say the least. But hey, got to do it. People like predictions, and I will go Mets over Orioles, and that pays a pretty penny too. If you want to go over that exact result at DraftKings, or just those two teams to make the World Series, boy, you're getting a hell of a payout there. If those are, you know, if those are in fact the winners there of their respective leagues. Like I said, I think Baltimore's gonna be really good. I love their lineup. Yeah, at Alonso. I think Rodgers was outstanding last year. I think that's actually sustainable. Bradish is a guy people like, you know, for Cy Young sleeper. I don't know if he'll have enough innings. Baz, get him out of a minor league ballpark from Tampa. He's got a lot of ability, a lot of pedigree. Bassett was a good, you know, he's a good fourth, fifth starter, veteran type guy, and then they can hit. I think Baltimore is going to be really, really good. Obviously a tough division, and you could talk me into, you know, three or four of those. Anybody besides Tampa winning that division, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm going to go with Baltimore and then Baltimore to come out of the American League. Another team hasn't been to the World Series in a very long time. Got to the ALCS, you know, the Yankees at one time in 96, got to the ALCS 2014. The Royals swept them. Maybe there was another time in between, although I don't think so. But I haven't been there, haven't won it in a long time. So I'll go with a little new blood here. The Mets over the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series. That would be a fun one. That would be a fun one. A little new blood. Both teams haven't been there in a while. That would be fun. And that pays quite a bit there if that's the way it goes here. And just pulling up these leagues now that I mentioned it. I've got to bet the exact thing. So Baltimore to win the American League is plus 950. Mets to win the National League is 7-1. Them to meet in the World Series is 83-1. That's at DraftKings. Again, shop around, maybe get a little bit better. I'm sure the first price you look at is probably not the best one. So 83-1, though, in that range, not bad. Not bad. And that gives you, that's the thing about baseball, it gives you action throughout the year. So if you make that bet right now, every day you're rooting for the Orioles, every day you're rooting for the Mets, and at least it keeps you entertained, if nothing else, for the long, long baseball season. It gives you something to root for. That's really what's fun about betting baseball. When you have these futures, it gives you action really throughout the year. And looking around, Orioles 9-1 at FanDuel, Mets 7-1 at FanDuel, and that matchup 65-1. So bet at DraftKings if you're going to bet it. Those are really the only two books I have access to. Fanatics, which only take like $5 in bets for me, but that's another story. 83-1 at DraftKings, not a bad bet. And then if you want to get a little frisky and pick the actual winner, you obviously get a much better payout. But Rodgers to lead the league in wins at 60-1, I think, is interesting. I mentioned Helsley, the closer, to lead the league in saves at 30-1. I just think the Orioles can be really good, and I've played their pitchers accordingly. So let's have a baseball season. Should be a lot of fun. Yankees and Giants Wednesday night, a bunch of other action on Thursday into Friday, and then we are off and running. But coming up, Mitch Moss will get his thoughts. Sweet 16, MLB, that is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Bet More podcast. You can catch him, Follow the Money, weekdays 4 to 7 Eastern. And he joins us now. It is Mitch Moss. Mitch, great time of the year, man. Thanks for coming on.
How are you, Will? Love talking to you, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, always well. We will get to some baseball, which I can't believe. By the time people listen to this, it will be opening day. It's hard to believe baseball is starting, but it is. But we'll start college hoops. I will give you the floor. Eight Sweet 16 games. They should all be pretty good ones. based on the lack of upsets here in the first few rounds. Your favorite bet among the eight is what?
Probably Nebraska minus the 1.5 against Iowa. Just the number feels to me like it's too short. And I mean, I absolutely do respect the betting market, and money came in on the Hawkeyes right away because Nebraska opened up some books like as high as 2.5, came down to 1.5. I think it should be closer to 3.5 than where it is right now. Plus you have Iowa coming off of that just absolutely gigantic upset against Florida, the defending champs. What are they going to be like in their next game? McCollum is absolutely fantastic, as we all know. I also do think this is not going to be a true neutral. We saw that in the first couple of games in Oklahoma City for Nebraska. All things considered here again, they had never won a tournament game, so they were a 4 seed. The fans were absolutely behind this team. They have been all year long. They love them. And that felt like a home game for Nebraska both times they played in Oklahoma City. It's going to be the same exact thing in Houston, despite it being in Houston's region. So it's going to be, you know, obviously Cougars fans and Cornhuskers fans probably. So I don't think it is going to feel like a true neutral in this game. So I like Nebraska. And I will say that my initial read from the board was that when St. John's opened up 6.5 and then right away moved to 7, that number, Will, to me, absolutely reeks. And sports books are like begging us to bet the Johnnies. And initially, like, that's the only way I'll look at the game. But why is it 7? Why'd they take money? And that scared me to death on the game. So I don't think I'm going to get involved there.
What's the game you're most excited to watch?
Probably that one. Because going back to, you know, when I was really impressionable in that 12, 13, 14 age range, and I watched Patino do what he did at Kentucky. I had never seen basketball like that before in my entire life. I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever watched. I love this man. I love that style. And then when they, you know, took Duke to the brink to go to the Final Four back in 92, Mashburn, loved that team, and then later hits the buzzer beater. I was gutted like all other Kentucky fans were at that time. But I have a soft spot for Patino, and if he could somehow slay Duke and move on to the Elite Eight, that would just be epic, in my opinion.
Do you have any feel for UConn, Michigan State? UConn up to 2 in some spots.
Man, I know Humans have been saying that he really likes UConn in this game, better at 1 on the opening number. To me, this would only be to get involved in play. I know Hurley's the man, but he's also going against – UConn's been too unreliable this year. They're not great at all at covering numbers. I know the tournament is a different animal with Hurley. Didn't cover against Furman. Got the money against UCLA. It's also Izzo that we're talking about here. Look, I'm not going to be surprised if any of these teams come out of the East. I really am not, because I don't think Duke's playing great basketball at all, and these other two teams are pretty much equal to me, so I'm going to just watch it and maybe bet live.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable. For as much as UConn and Michigan State have both been around the tournament the last 30 years, they really haven't run into each other much. I think it was just that one game in the Elite Eight back in 2014, the Shabazz Napier year, where UConn beat them at the Garden. But other than that, they haven't run into each other too much, which is interesting. Would you take who do you think's winning it all? And is there anyone you would take a shot at, most outstanding player?
Ooh, that's a great question. The market is really not up and available in Las Vegas, so I don't really even look at it that much. But I think you kind of got to like Houston's path at this point. Playing at home, they get by Illinois, if they do, because Illinois is awesome offensively. But if they win that game, you'll really like them against Nebraska or Iowa. And I don't know. There's something about teams that get so close one year and they try to run it back the next. And they got a little better on offense. I love the Flemings kid. I think Houston 7-1 wouldn't be bad. I'd maybe take a peek at either somebody. And by the way, here's the thing that I would do. Because when this market was available in previous years in Las Vegas, I don't know why it comes and goes, but there was one year when Kansas won it all in 2022. The voting was very shaky, and McCormick probably should have won for Kansas. But I like Kansas to win the whole thing that year. So I bet multiple guys on that team to win it. So if you like one of the teams, like if you're adamant that Michigan's going to win or Arizona, I would just sprinkle the board with taking 2, 3, or 4 different guys on the same team.
And you think if you had to pick right now, you'd pick Houston or you'd pick someone else?
I'd pick Houston from that. Well, I'd go Houston to go to the Final Four. And in the other bracket, Michigan is, their path to me when it opened up was so easy for them to get to the Elite Eight, because I think the matchup against Alabama is going to be a layup for them. Now, if Iowa State is completely healthy with Joshua Jefferson, I think Iowa State can maybe beat Michigan. And up top, I think it would be, I mean, Arizona, are they not the best team in the country at this point? They are loaded everywhere. They got pros everywhere. They're a big favorite against Arkansas. And I just, against Texas or Purdue, I would really like that team as well. So I'd probably look at going with, to bet that market, I'd probably look at betting like three or four different guys on Arizona.
Is the tournament less fun now?
Yes. It is. Because I prefer, here's the thing, like, even if the dogs aren't going to win, that's fine. But all these blowouts, I mean, I guess there's fun in that when the point spread's involved, but when it's not, and, I mean, these numbers open up the biggest they've been in 40 years, and the betting market says, nope, not enough, and a lot of those moves get there. That, to me, doesn't make for a great tournament or, like, just tons of great games. And I know the tournament's not amazing every single year, and we're living on this idea in our brains that dogs are barking in, like, every window for the first 2 days, and then certainly in the round of 32 as well. It doesn't happen like that every single year. We think it does, but it doesn't. But I think there is definitely some separation now, and I can't argue with the numbers over the last 2 years with all this money now being in the NIL pot.
How long before you think this tournament going this way, where it's chalk, it's very predictable, how long before you think it actually chips away at the popularity for a lot of people, you know, going forward, where you wake up that Thursday of March Madness and you're just not as excited as you used to be? Does that take 3 years? Does it take 8 years? It's somewhere in between. What are your thoughts on that?
So I think overall, nationally, I think it would probably take a good 5-6 years. I don't think it's going to happen if next year it's 3 years in a row and it's all favorites winning and they're not close. I still think people can say, well, it's too small of a sample size. We need to see it for, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 more years. I'm also wondering, because, like, living in Las Vegas for this long, Will, and March Madness has always been my favorite time of year. Like, I love going out to sports books and I love hanging out with the crowds and the ballrooms, and it just, at what point does that get impacted? Where people are just like, you know what? It's not the same thing. These games are not as good. I'm going to save money this year. I'm not going to go to Las Vegas. I'm not going to, you know, does that ever happen? Or is it just, it's an unbelievable excuse to get off of work. My buddies will travel once a year. This is going to be the thing. We'll get together and there's still going to be just massive crowds like everywhere.
Yeah, I think it'll take a few more years of this, but I do think, like, the term March Madness, that's, I mean, it's unpredictable. This is not madness. When the favorites are winning all these games and they're winning comfortably,
you're right.
There's nothing mad about it. It's just, well, it's too predictable, and it, you know, I don't love it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the tournament would have grown in popularity like it did if it was always like this?
No.
There's no way, right? I mean, it would have just been another thing that we had. And right? Because the reason why we all loved it growing up is because of the madness.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not even about the basketball. I've always thought the tournament, you break it into a few different sections, where the first 4 days, it's part of just American culture. Everyone's got their brackets. It's the upsets, the Cinderellas. Then the Sweet 16 on, it turns into a basketball tournament. If it's just going to be a basketball tournament, it's going to lose a lot of its luster.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. There's got to be a spot for the little guy. And, I mean, how many more high points are we going to have? Like, maybe we'll have a high point type every year, but we probably won't have 5, 6, 7, 8 of them.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. Let's switch here to baseball. We have a game on Wednesday night. The Yankees are visiting the Giants. We get Fried versus Webb. How quickly the winter went by. It's amazing that this is back. What is the team you have the most conviction on heading into the season, good or bad?
Well, I mean, a lot of people have won me over on the Kansas City Royals. I think their win total is absolutely manageable to go over. I'm pretty big on the Rangers with what they did with their staff. I'm also thinking, like, the Astros are not going to be a major player this year, so that's going to come down to the Mariners being dynamite yet again and the Rangers, so those are two of the best teams in the American League overall. And I still have faith in Milwaukee, despite the losses they had again this offseason. I think they're too good of an organization. I think they have too much young talent, including guys in that staff in the rotation. And I think that they're going to be, you know, there's so much steam. There was anyway a couple of weeks ago on the idea of Pittsburgh being a player in that division and a playoff team and winning, you know, 85-plus games, and that staff is going to be, you know, led by Skeens. Watch out. I heard the same thing about the Reds. I don't know. I think at the end of the year it's going to come down to the Brewers and the Cubs again for that division. And I think the Brewers will go over their win total, and I would not be surprised if they're like the two or the three seed in the National League playoffs yet again.
Who do you think's the worst team? Is it still the Rockies? The Rockies add a little bit of like major league caliber pitching with Quintana, with Lorenzen. You know, Feltner's not terrible. They get the Senzels of the world out of there. I don't know. Is it still the Rockies? Is it someone else? I had John Legace on a couple weeks ago. He made the case for the Cardinals and a real, real sleeper for Arizona. I think they're like 135-1. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't disagree with what you've been saying as well on the network. You kind of won me over there with Washington. State the case for Washington being good. I mean, they have some nice young talent overall. Wood, of course, good. I like Abrams quite a bit. Will Cruz pop this year for in the outfield? But that rotation, as you pointed out several times on VSiN, is just, oh boy, that is vile and nasty.
Yeah, opening day starter of Cade Cavalli, which is not great.
Ooh, he's your ace?
Yeah, some of these starters, the Cardinals are starting Liberatore as their opening day starter, and the guys behind him are not much better. Dustin May, and who else do they have? McGreevy, it's Palante. That's a pretty rough rotation.
I actually don't mind Liberatore, but
yeah, he's okay.
But as the number one guy that you're going to want to go to war with, he's more like a three to me. And they're going to have to rely on a lot of young talent. And that's odd to say, by the way, growing up in the Midwest. I mean, the respect that I've had for that organization, off the charts. They are good every single year. This is a
complete, like the Steelers.
There you go. There's a good comparison. Like, when was the last time the Cardinals were, like, in theory, going to be this bad to begin a year? I can never recall that happening.
No, they're like the Steelers. They're either okay, or they're pretty good, or they're really good. But bad is just never something you associate with them. But, not a good team. Awards. MVP is tough because it's Ohtani and Judge, and they're just so much better than everybody else. Is this a year where you think it's worth taking a shot on somebody else for MVP? Is that something you looked at?
Well, okay, so if you're going to go to war in one of those leagues, because Ohtani's pitching again, he's the fifth starter according to Dave Roberts. Do we really want to try to find another guy in the National League that is going to beat out Shohei Ohtani?
I mean, if I had to play anyone, I'd probably play Ohtani, because what, like, if he's healthy, what, how does he not win it? Even if he has like 12 wins and 30 homers, which is a conservative for both, you know, offense and pitching, 12 homers and 12 wins and 30 homers is probably enough to win it. But
yeah,
with a mediocre year.
And look, I mean, I was high last year to begin the season, like 3 weeks in. Pete Crow Armstrong was just fantastic, and he's playing stellar defense, won a Gold Glove. And, like, he was right there in the mix until, like, July, a little bit post All-Star break. And then he never put together the full season, fell apart a little bit. Like, you're going to have a guy that you're going – like, is it Soto this year, where his offensive numbers are just so good that it's going to be too difficult to ignore, and maybe that New York, playing in New York, will have give him a little bit of an edge over Ohtani? But you're right. If Ohtani has – even if he has 8 wins and his ERA is 3.3, we'll say, and he's got 160 strikeouts – but he hits 35 home runs and steals 12 bases, and he has 100. I mean, what are we doing here? How does he not win it?
And I feel like the baseball writers are less prone to the narrative stuff that maybe they are in football and basketball, where in those sports it seems like they get tired of voting for the same guy and they want to vote for someone new in baseball. If you have the best numbers, you're pretty much going to get it. So it's hard to see past Ohtani. You feel the same way about Judge? It's hard to see past him?
You know, I mean, if Judge plays, what's the number of games here? If he plays 145 games?
That's the exact number I had in mind when you started to say that. Yep.
I mean, all I have to do is go back to last year. And this is not even an argument about who should have won it last year. Cal Raleigh hit 60 home runs, Gold Glove catcher for the Mariners. First place team. Didn't win. So, you tell me. I mean, is it worth even looking at the market? If Judge plays 145 games and is anywhere close to what he did last year, puts up numbers that close, who's going to beat him?
Yeah, it's at least with him, he doesn't have the pitching aspect of it, and he has gotten hurt before. He's getting older. One of these years, he's not going to look like Judge anymore. But
yep.
I mean, it's you would think that's still maybe a year or two away, at least from a Yankee fan. You hope he's a year or two away. Have you bet anything for the opening day games yet?
Nothing. I'm going to get involved. I love betting this market. It's up at DraftKings, Caesars, Will Hill. Circa, I believe, is going to post the day opening day. I am involved in that, but it's the most wins in a given month.
Okay.
I love it. It's a great sweat. Comes down to the final day, usually between a couple of teams. But hit a couple of those last year, and I love looking at the whole schedule for the month. It's, to me, and I've been better at that, at betting baseball, the day-to-day stuff. So, and you can pop a team at, 14, 20, 25, 30, 40 to 1. To sure. win these monthly markets. So that's going to be my preference, and I haven't gotten there yet just because Circa, I need them to post all their numbers first.
Yeah, Dodgers the short shot here. April wins by the end of April. Dodgers are plus 290. Mariners are plus 750. Get the Mets are 10 to 1. Where are the Orioles? I'm high on the Orioles this year. Orioles are 16 to 1. I'd have to look at their schedule, but I think the Orioles are in for a big season. Are you a believer in the Orioles hype or not necessarily?
Oh, I am. I mean, yeah, because I have – that's the one – that was my very first future bet that I made. That was Trevor Rogers to win the Cy Young. Love the way that he pitched last year. He was great and got him at 60 to 1 back in November for this year. And you bring in Shane Baz. Bradish is a guy that people are absolutely super high on this year. Bringing in Pete Alonso, of course. How does that lineup not score a ton of runs? That division is so stacked. I think the Blue Jays are going to be awesome. The Yankees, with that rotation, if they stay healthy, certainly should win 90-plus games this year. The Red Sox aren't going to be chopped liver. I think the Rays are probably, without question, the worst team in that division, which seems odd to say, but it's a great division. But yeah, I'm high in the Orioles this year. By the way, shop around. I think one book had them 40 to 1 for most wins by the end of April.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and you can get some big discrepancies with
these. Oh, huge.
So absolutely huge. Shop around.
Yep.
Huge difference. Obviously, 16 to 1 and 40 to 1 is a monster difference. Anything awards-wise we haven't mentioned? Anything else you want to get out there before we switch gears to golf?
That's it. I really like the Trevor Rogers one. I would like to get involved in the MVP, but like we talked about, I don't think it's worth it. I really don't.
Golf, you have some angles here. Scheffler withdraws from the Houston Open. What did you want to get out there?
Well, so this will completely get lost in the shuffle. Like you said, there's so much stuff going on. The end of the season's in the NBA, the NHL. You got NFL draft coming up a month away. Opening day is here. The March Madness, of course, takes center stage. And then what about golf? Well, nobody's thinking about like the LIV Tour. And in recent events, DeChambeau just beat Rahm in a playoff. DeChambeau was right there again the previous week. Rahm's won like three events recently. Those two guys are separating themselves. And if you could, I loaded up on DeChambeau 15 to 1 and Rahm 18 to 1. And if you can still find anything close to those numbers, I think it's worth a bet. Because again, Scotty, just this morning as we're recording this, with the WD from the Houston Open, not been playing great golf. His number's going to have to come back to the pack. I really don't want anything to do with him this year at the Masters. That could be a mistake. It's Rory won it last year. He's been dinged up with the back. And so keep an eye on those two guys if you can find decent numbers. Anything 15 or above on those two, maybe even like 13, 14 or above on those two, I think are worth grabbing.
Who's in the NBA Finals?
San Antonio and Boston.
Ooh. That would be interesting. Yeah, it's OKC's played well. The Lakers have played really well recently. It should be a fun playoff. I'm just less and less into the regular season year by year. But, boy, they still have a really good playoffs in this playoff, especially once you get to round two and beyond this year. They should have a hell of a postseason.
Yeah, I'm saying San Antonio because I have a nice ticket on them at 18-1 to win the West. So I would love to see that one pop. Also, Wemby, after the game on Monday night, he was awesome again. He came out now and said, I think I deserve the MVP. He was 33-1 even after the game last night at FanDuel. 33-1. He's down to like 10, 12, 14-1 today.
It's funny how you make these bets for different reasons, and then they end up looking really good or really bad. I bet the Spurs to win it all last year, the night of the lottery, at 40-1 because I thought, second pick in the draft, they're going to trade that. They're going to get Giannis, and then they don't. I think, all right, it's probably dead. And here they are. They pop, and they can win it without Giannis. They're just incredible.
I hate being a year too early on this stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
Mitch, you're the best, man. I appreciate it. This was fun. Long overdue. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Thanks, Will. Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 Eastern time on VSiN. Do the show with Paulie Howard every day. You can listen. You can watch the VSiN Watch app. It's all there.
And he does a good job of keeping you in check, making sure you're on your best behavior. And it's a great show, a must listen. Mitch, thanks again, man. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, pal.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Mitch Moss. We'll be back on Friday. Enjoy opening day. See you then.